Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, I'll be reading from verse 23 through 28. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols and vile images or with any of their offenses, for I will save them from all their sinful backsliding, and I will cleanse them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David will be the king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, the land where your fathers lived. They and their children and their children's children will live there forever, and David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever.
Good morning. You can get open up to John chapter 10. Appreciate James reading that for us. We will be talking about the Good Shepherd this morning when Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd." Before we get to that, I want to thank Michael for all his work for planting Six Flags and all those who went out yesterday. That was awesome. I dominated those rides. And it was amazing. We had close to 50 people, if not 50 people, go, and I only saw like two groups throughout the day that I knew. So it was amazing, but it was a lot of fun. Really appreciate Michael doing all that work on that. Secondly, this is the time of year when I'm about to be out of town a lot. So that will begin next Sunday. I will not be here. We'll be out of town. I'll be here the next Sunday morning. Then I'll be gone for another week. And so it's just crazy time of the year. So I'll be working some camps and things during that time. And then thirdly, happy Father's Day to all of you fathers out there. Hope that it is a good day for you this day. John chapter 10, Jesus says in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." And he lays down his life for the sheep. This morning, I don't want to take anything for granted about what you know about the good shepherd. I don't know anything about shepherding. I grew up in Alabama, and we have cows on our property, my grandparents' property. What I know about shepherding is kind of a mix of cattle raising and shepherding. So that doesn't work. But I'm going to paint some pictures for you today, hopefully, about Jesus as the shepherd. But what we want to see when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he's not just saying, "I'm the best shepherd." He is making a claim back to the Old Testament and prophecies that are made in the Old Testament. But a shepherd is a leader or a ruler. Oftentimes, the king was called a shepherd. And you can see this throughout the Old Testament. The first time you see that is in Numbers chapter 27, when Moses is about to die, and the Lord chooses Joshua to lead the people. And so it says, verse 16, "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who will go out and come in before them, who will lead them and bring them in, so that the congregation of the Lord will not be like sheep which have no shepherd." Sheep are notorious for being dumb, for not being able to defend themselves, not being able to lead themselves, not being able to do anything for themselves. That's what they're notorious for. And so if you've ever seen a group of sheep, I know Ed and Marlene, when they were in Europe here a while back, they were amazed at how many sheep and goats and all that stuff they saw. If you've ever seen anything like that where they're out of control, man, it is a mess. God says, "I don't want my people to be that way. I don't want them to have no one who is leading them. So give them Joshua. He'll lead them." And you would see the same thing said about King David. Before he is ever made king officially, this was said about him in verse 2. He says, "The Lord said to you," and the men remind him of what the Lord said to him, "You will be shepherd, you will shepherd my people Israel, and you will be ruler over Israel." And so they come and they make him king in Hebron. The idea, David by trade, he was a shepherd. He shepherded sheep. He protected his father's sheep. And this is kind of a play on words. You shepherd sheep, but I'm going to make you shepherd people. Jesus uses a similar play on words with his apostles. They were fishermen, but he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He already does what he's doing, and he kind of uses that illustration of David is going to lead my people. And so, in the passage that James just read, you can see that is one of the prophecies of the shepherd. But there are prophecies that there would be one shepherd. There were many shepherds throughout the time of Israel. There was Joshua. There was David. Ahab would be called a shepherd in 1 Kings chapter 22 because he saw all Israel scattered as a sheep without a shepherd, the prophet. So there's been many prophets, there's been many leaders, many rulers. But the prophet said there was going to be one ruler. There was going to be one shepherd. And so you can see passages like Ezekiel 34 and Ezekiel 37 that James read for us, where the Lord says this. And notice that it is God, the Lord, saying this. He says, therefore, I will deliver my flock, and they will no longer be a prey, and I will judge between one sheep and another. Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. David, the shepherd of sheep and the king, you know how long he's been dead? Hundreds of years when Ezekiel writes this. And God says, I'm going to set David. He will be my shepherd. And the people recognize that not to be David being raised from the dead, but they recognize that to be the Christ, the son of David. And so there are interesting things, right? They didn't want to be Israel scattered as sheep without a shepherd. So I'll draw your attention to Jesus' life. Remember there's a time when Jesus, he's trying to go on some R&R, on some rest and relaxation. And he looks out and said of this in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd. And he felt compassion for them. Because they were sheep. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. That is when he feeds the 5,000. He literally feeds them food, but the verse is how he is going to feed the people. It is teaching the people. This is spiritual leadership. And that's what we'll be talking about tonight, is the spiritual leadership of the shepherd, of a shepherd in this sense. Jesus takes this role on himself. But there is also, what else happens to the shepherd? He's going to rule the people. He's going to lead the people. He's going to feed the people. But you know what else is said about the shepherd? We read it all the time. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, it's said about the shepherd, awake, O sword, against my shepherd. And against the man, my associate, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd that the sheep may be scattered. And I'll turn my hand against the little. You know who says that about himself? Michael talked about it a few weeks ago, didn't he? Jesus said that. He said to his disciples, you will all fall away because of me this night, for it's written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. The shepherd was going to rule the people, but it was going to come at such an awful price. To get this ownership and this leadership, it was going to cost him his life. The Israelites of Jesus' day would have been looking for the shepherd. So when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, that should be the light bulb going off in their head. I'm the Christ. I am the Son of David. I'm the one who has come. That's all I'm really going to say about that until tonight. I'm going to talk a little more about it. This morning, what I really want to talk about is Jesus claims to be the shepherd, and I'm just going to say he is the shepherd, as I believe the scriptures show, right? I want to focus more this morning on the relationship between the sheep and their shepherd, or the shepherd and his sheep. And I want to look at really three things about it. One is that the shepherd, he is their God, and the sheep are his people. Secondly, we'll look at how close and intimate relationship this is. And thirdly, the shepherd has their best interest at heart. Let's begin with, he is their God and they are his people. If you notice that in James' reading of Ezekiel chapter 37, it says that at least twice in that reading. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 34, where it is talking about the shepherd, at the end it will conclude, I will be the Lord, and they shall be my people, with this closing verse in verse 31. As for you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, you are men, and I am your God, says the Lord. This is a very special relationship. So when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, what he's really saying is that I'm God. That I own this flock, this sheep. Notice how he says that. Hold on to verse 12, right following. He says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and he leaves and he flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. And he flees because he's a hired hand and he's not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Jesus is not taking, hey, these are some sheep that I take care of. He's taking ownership of them. These belong to me. And you can see that also in verses 3 and 4, and a verse we'll talk more about tonight, but let's just read it here. But the doorkeeper opens his voice, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep out. Can you be a shepherd of someone else's sheep? No, you shepherd your own. Jesus is saying, the flock that I have are those that are, notice how he got them, verse 29. They were given to him by the Father. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Just as TJ was just talking about, Jesus and the Father are one. You've seen me, you've seen the Father, which is what we've been trying to stress this quarter, right? Jesus says, I got the sheep from the Father. The Father and I are one. His claim is, I am God. How did Jesus get those sheep? How did he get the flock of God? How did he become shepherd of the flock of God? He's appointed that, right? I will set my shepherd. But notice chapter Acts chapter 20. Hold your finger in John 10. But notice Acts chapter 20. In verse 28, when the Apostle Paul is addressing the shepherds, the elders, in Ephesus. Notice what he says to them. Verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. How did Jesus become the shepherd? I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. What an awful, awful price it was for you and for me to become a sheep of God. And that is why Peter would say in 1 Peter chapter 1, around verse 18, verse 19, we were not ransomed with perishable things like gold or silver, but with the imperishable things of the blood of a spotless Lamb of God. Or, as you could read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, around verse 20 and 21. You've been bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. We are not our own. We belong to God. But God wants us. And it is special that He would allow Himself to be our shepherd. You know, I said a second ago, the people, they should have had the light bulb go off. They didn't understand when Jesus is talking about the door of the sheep and all of that at first. And then when Jesus starts expounding a little more in verse 11, they finally realize, come about verse 24, that, talk to us plain. Are you really the Christ? And He goes on to talk a little more about the shepherd. And they get it in verse 31, don't they? Because they pick up to stone Him again. It's not what the people had in mind about who their shepherd would be. Jesus is that shepherd. God wants us, and what we need not to forget is an honor and a privilege it is to be of the flock of God. Our shepherd is not some man. Our shepherd, He was a man, yes. He came in the form of man. But our shepherd is God. And so we can trust our shepherd as we will conclude. He is their God. Notice how the Old Testament talks about God being a shepherd. And this tenderness, and this will get us into our next point. In Isaiah chapter 40, in a chapter that is full of incredible encouragement, we sing a song sometimes, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait." That's how Isaiah 40 ends. But in the middle of Isaiah 40, about verse 10, it says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with His might. And like a shepherd," verse 11, "He will tend His flock. In His arm, He will gather the lambs and carry them in His bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." Does God drive like a cattle driver does? With His prod and His electric stake to get it to where He wants to go? God carries His sheep. They're sick. They're injured. He binds them up. He gives them the strength and He carries them in His arms as though we would carry a little child around. And so you've seen the picture, and I wish I had it up here, of the stained glass window of Jesus the Good Shepherd. He's surrounded by these little sheep, and if I'm not mistaken, He has a sheep in one of His arms. And it's right on, right? That's showing you how much He cares for the sheep. And it's not some guy. It is the owner who gave His life for the sheep. Who is God. Who is their shepherd. And who is our shepherd. That is very special. Secondly, this shows the intimate and close relationship a shepherd has with his sheep. Jesus will talk about this close relationship in this way. Go down to verse 14. "He knows His sheep, and His sheep know Him. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." And notice how well they know one another. "Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." How well does Jesus know the Father? He's the exact representation of His nature we just read. He knows the ins and the outs. Everything that He says comes directly from God. He says, "I can do nothing that I don't see the Father doing." He knows the ins and the outs of His Father. Jesus says, "I know my sheep that well. I know the ins and the outs of the sheep. And you know what? My sheep know me that well. They know the ins and the outs of me." or they should, or they could. My sheep know me, and I know my sheep. He knows them by name, he would say. He calls them out by name. It's Father's Day, right? I imagine fathers who have multiple kids, right? You'll see a child doing something, and you will call them by the wrong name. You know who they are, but you call them by the wrong name. That's with like 2, 3, 4 kids, right? Imagine how many sheep God has. We're looking around this room today. I'm just going to go ahead and estimate. We'll say 125 sheep of God in here, right? He knows your name. He knows my name. Jesus would say in Matthew, he knows how many hairs are on our head. Probably easier for him to remember my number, right? He knows that. How many of us know all the names of the people in here? I can't raise my hand on that one. I know the majority. God knows not only our names, but he knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. He knows how to get us to go in the right way. And if we're with him, we listen to him, don't we? The sheep, they listen to him. I saw a picture just the other day, totally unrelated to my preparation for this study. And it was a sheep. It was some sheep in a pen. And laying on top of the sheep was this blue tick heeler. That's a dog that is used to herd sheep. You know what that dog was doing with those sheep? He was laying on top of the sheep. They were not afraid of him at all. They had a close relationship with him. And that's with a dog. Imagine with the shepherd. I bet you got pets, don't you? How many of you get up and you cuddle up with your pet and you put it in your arms and you pet it? Some of you may dress it up, which I think is crazy. And some of you may buy really nice, expensive things. And you care for that dog. Does it know your voice? Yeah, I come into your house and I'm like, I'm not a big fan of dogs, but hey, you like dogs? That's cool. And so the dog is laughing all up on me. I'm like, hey, please get off. And hey, get off. And the dog doesn't listen to me, does it? But you come in, you say, stop, get off him. Oh, and the dog goes off and he does his own thing. Because he knows your voice. But did he know your voice right off the bat? The first day you got it. No, it takes some training. It takes some listening to it to get used to it. Jesus, has he given us his words? Absolutely, he's given us words. Do I know how Jesus sounds? I told Dolores she might get a shout out this morning. Dolores amazes me. And Mavis too, for that matter. I walk by and I say something. They know exactly who I am. They recognize my voice. And I bet they recognize your voice too. Somebody will call me up on the phone. I won't recognize the number. And I won't recognize the voice. Like, I'm sorry, who are you again? But there are people who we know their voice. They call up and we know exactly who they are. We may even know how they're going to begin the phone conversation. We may know how they're going to end the phone conversation. We know their voice. Is it because we just heard from them once, twice before? We've heard them over and over, and over there is a close relationship that is formed. Jesus says, not only do they listen to me, but notice this verse 26 and 27. Actually, go down. Actually, I want to read verse 4 and 5. When he puts forth all his own, that's all a sheep, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow because they know his voice. He's not behind them pushing them. He's saying, come on guys, follow me. He goes before them and they go because they know his voice. A stranger they will simply not follow, but they will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Not only do they not follow him, they flee from the strangers. The application seems to be pretty simple, doesn't it? Do I, or am I, able to recognize the difference in the teachings of Jesus and in the imposters of His teachings? Eddie called me up one time, and he was acting like he was somebody else. And he was pretty close. It was close enough that I agreed to what he said. Then he told me who he was. And I was like, oh, man, what did I just agree to? That's how false teachers, that's how deceivers, they work. I'm not calling Eddie a deceiver, but in this case he was joking. As a joke. That's how they work. They want to sound like Jesus. But what they are is they are ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing. You wouldn't listen to them if they didn't sound like the shepherd. Jesus says, my sheep, they know the difference between the imposters and me. They don't listen. They flee from those imposters because they know what the wolf is there to do. The wolf is there to eat them. And so they scatter and they go all about. And then the shepherd has to do his job of calling them back together. Hey, it's okay. Go and picking them up after they've fallen down. That's what Jesus does. He calls us to himself and says, notice the difference between them and me. Listen. And this is how Jesus knows who his sheep are, isn't it? I know my sheep. They listen and they follow me. And the question is, am I one of his sheep? Would Jesus look down at me and say, man, he listens to me. Wherever I tell him to go, that's where he's going to go. Or is he listening to somebody else? Just tuning him out, doing his own thing like a sheep without a shepherd. The sheep of God, the sheep of Jesus, they listen. And they don't just hear it. It doesn't go in one ear and out the other. They follow. They go. And that's really what we're going to be talking about in the next quarter as we begin in July. We're going to be talking about the teachings and the sayings of Jesus. And it is true that some of the things that the shepherd says are tough commands. But this is when the rubber meets the road. Am I going to follow him? Or am I going to do my own thing and allow the wolves to eat me and destroy me? That gets us to our third point that we want to see from John chapter 10 this morning. This shepherd has the sheep's best interest at heart. He's not out looking to make money. He's not out looking for any benefit for himself other than to have the best flock of sheep possible. And that takes hard work. His sheep are in his best interest. Notice this in verse 10. He doesn't come to destroy their life, but he comes to give them life, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundant. The way I understand this word is that it's more like that they have a blessed life. That they have a good life. I want them to have and feel like they've got a good life. So Paul is able to say in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say, rejoice. If you're a Christian, you've got some good going for you. That's why Jesus came. But he came to do more than just having a good life right here, didn't he? He came, so verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus offers eternal life. He offers protection, which is big of what the sheep needs. If the sheep cannot defend himself, and the wolf comes, by the way, it's just a bigger dog, that they don't accept, but they accept another dog. When that wolf comes, what do? They scatter. The shepherd is there to protect the sheep. So you remember King David, right? Before he's king, when he is shepherding his father's sheep. And he goes before King Saul because David says, hey, I'm willing to fight this giant Goliath. You're a small little kid. What can you do? Well, you see, a bear came after my father's sheep. I killed it. And a lion came after my father's sheep. I killed it with my bare hands. He protected his sheep. I'd be scared to death to fight a bear. I'd be scared to death to fight a lion. David, as a young boy, took those on because of his responsibility to protect the sheep. How much more so, Jesus, will he go to protect his sheep, to keep them from being destroyed? He's going to do everything in his power. And as long as you listen to him, you can't be taken away. You can walk away, you can stop listening. You can walk away and you can go off and fend for yourself and get destroyed. That'll be fine. You can do that. The shepherd will let you do that. But he does not want that. He will not allow you to be taken from his hand. And notice this connection of the Father and him are one. We've already read it, but verse 29. My Father has given them, that's the sheep, to me. And he is greater than all. Michael talked a few weeks ago about how powerful Satan is, didn't he? But who defeated Satan? Who conquered Satan? Jesus. He's greater. He is stronger than him, than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. There is protection being a sheep of God. So the question I ask is, do you feel safe putting your trust in Jesus? The sheep of Jesus should have no fears, no anxieties, knowing that Jesus is protecting them. But do I trust Jesus enough to follow him wherever he says to go? That's really what I'm asking. That's really what you got to ask yourself. Is if his sheep follow his voice and they flee from everyone else, and I know that God is the one who is giving these commands. In essence, what I'm saying is, do I trust God well enough to live however he tells me to live? If I do that, I'm willing to be sheep. And then I can say things like David said as we close out this morning of maybe one of the most read passages in all of the Bible. Maybe one of the most read poems, if you want to call it that, in all of the world. In Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, it really hit me when I was back in Alabama for my grandmother's funeral. I forgot that this was a tradition. That at the graveside of a funeral, when you go and the body is placed into the ground, oftentimes what the preacher, whoever's preaching the sermon, will do is he'll just simply read Psalm 23. And it hit me as I was standing there, and the preacher did that, why they read Psalm 23. It's because Psalm 23 is supposed to be from the attitude of the Lord is my shepherd. And as his sheep, no matter how tough things are, no matter how bad things get, no matter how good things get, God is the one who's leading me, and it'll all be okay. If I'm not listening and following Jesus, Psalm 23 doesn't offer me a lot of hope. I don't get a lot of comfort. I don't get a lot of solace from it. But if I'm listening and I'm following, Psalm 23 should be able to kind of sum up our life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's not about the sheep. It's about the shepherd. He makes me. He leads me. He protects me. I can get through it because You're there. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. It's because of who the shepherd is. The sheep are blessed because their shepherd is God. Maybe you want to become a child of God today. Maybe you want to become one of those sheep. You're ready to obey the commands of our Lord. Then we must repent and be baptized. Be willing to change and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And to live for Him the way He says us to live. If you want to do that this morning, why don't you come?